Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together this morning in faith. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and we are well on our way towards Christmas. And a lot of events are happening, and shopping are happening, and lights have been put on, and we are moving closer and closer to that celebration. Today's message speak heavily on the person and purpose of our Lord and His mission to the earth. We found in the gospel this morning where the prophet John the Baptist is being questioned by the authority regarding his identity. And he, as we said last week, John is not seeking any glory of his own. As we look at this text, in his response, he confirms Isaiah's prophecy concerning him. He says in the text that I am a voice, just a voice crying in the wilderness. I am just an instrument that is being used for this purpose. I am not the Christ. I don't want anyone to put their attention on me because I'm not the guy. He says, amongst you stand one. That is to say that Jesus was already there and was amongst them, but they did not know him. All right, he was already there, just like he is this morning in worship with us, but we cannot see him because we can't see him with our spiritual eyes yet. All right, so I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. He says, I'm just an instrument that has been used for this purpose. I'm not the Christ. And so he makes that emphasis there. So after a moment of intense interrogation, he then points his interrogators to the Messiah. And we found in John 1, 26 and 27, these words. He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. What John is doing here is presenting Jesus as the one who is the greatest. All right? He says, you may be looking at me as a great one, but I'm not. There is one who is the greatest. All right? So he's pointing everybody to Jesus Christ. And today, in this contemporary time, we have a lot of ministries and churches and pastors who are pointing people toward themselves, and they try to make the church look like it's a business, and they own this business, and so they write the name and they label the church after themselves. But you see, what we do is we point people to Jesus Christ because he is the greatest one. And so I'm standing here as an instrument to do the work of the Lord. Holy Nativity Lutheran Church is an instrument that God has put in place to call men and women unto himself. So nothing we do here points anywhere to us. It is to point everyone to the cross, and the cross on which our Lord and Savior died. So that's the subject of our message this morning, and this should be the subject of our message and ministry at all times. It doesn't matter how we feel or how we stand. Our message and our ministry should always carry with it the reality that Jesus is the greatest one. He is the greatest one. And in good times, we be like David and we ask the question, like it is written in Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness toward me? We ask that question in good times. In trials, we should be like John. And 1 John 4:4 says, the one who lives in me is greater than the one who is in the world. We should be like John in a time of trial. And when the going really gets tough, like the three Hebrew boys, we can say in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, they said these words, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us. But even if he does not, they said, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods. All right? In other words, they declared God is too great for us to bow down to other circumstances. God is too great for us to bow down to other things. Because God is great, we need to only bow down to God. And having said that, I would like to for us to see some of the things that made John to see himself as unworthy to untie the Lord's sandals. Why did he describe Jesus Christ this way and describe himself as being unworthy to untie his sandals? Isaiah the prophet describes this greatness in one of his prophetic discourses found in the Old Testament text this morning. And I just want us to look at a few of them. In Isaiah 61 is a description of our Lord's mission to the earth. And in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 is where the emphasis of this morning's message comes from. And in Isaiah writes, "The Spirit of the Lord, of the serving Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from prison, from darkness rather, for the prisoners, to proclaim the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." These are the prophetic words from the prophet Isaiah. So we know that this prophecy is ascribed to our Lord Jesus Christ, because when Jesus came, he authenticated that this fact when he went into the temple and picked up the scroll, as we found in Luke 4, verse 18, rather, he said these same words, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he said these words that Isaiah prophesied long ago. Jesus said these words, so we know that this text is ascribed to Jesus Christ. Now, this mission could not be carried out by anyone else. Why? Because there at the time was a great power that held everyone captive. And so all of mankind were in prison to this great power that we know now to be known as Satan. All right? Satan is that great power that held all men captive. And we know him to be this great power because our Bible tells us so. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So the evil one, the devil, Satan, is the god of this world according to the scripture. So we know this to be true, that he is that great power that no man is able to fight. No man has the power or capacity to stand before the devil and challenge him. This is the reason why sin is so powerful. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, so sin is powerful, and no one is able to rescue man from the peril of sin and death. And so God had to do something about this. So God the Father needed someone who was greater than him to come and crush him. Someone had to be greater than the devil to come and fight the devil and crush him. And because when God looked down, there were some of the, these are some of the things that needed to be addressed when God looked down, that the prophet Isaiah is talking about in the Old Testament text this morning. Here are some of the things that God looked down and saw. First is, the news down here was bad news. All right? Bad news was like, it was like turning on the television today. Bad news. That was the news that was down here. The bridge between God and man is broken. That was the news down here. The earth has been turned over to Satan. That was the news down here. Mankind, righteousness are like filthy rags. There was nothing that man could do to turn back to God or build the bridge between man and God. Man's heart are broken by the plagues of sin and death. That was the news down here. All of mankind are destined for eternal destruction. That was the news down here. That was the news that God was hearing when he turned on his radio from heaven, listening to earth. It was no good news. No good news at all. But then our superhero came. Our Redeemer, King's man, Jesus Christ, not dressed up in a warrior, as a warrior, but as a baby in a lowly manger, he came to the earth. Even though he came, he knew the purpose of his mission, but he wanted to experience it. So he came as a baby. He could have come as a man and went straight up on that cross and died. But he had to come and be tested and go through trials like every person and feel the affliction and the feelings that we go through. And this is the reason why Hebrews 4 verse 15 writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." So Jesus went through the trials. He went through the tribulations. He went through those moments of pains and sufferings and sorrows that we go through on the earth. He saw those things. He had regrets and all those things happened because he wanted to feel what we feel. And this is the reason why he put on human flesh and came. And we call him God incarnate because he put on human flesh and came onto this world. And so Jesus came. And the first thing he did was change the news. He changed the news from bad news to good news. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved." Good news. And he spread that good news. Not only spread the good news, but he acted that good news by going on the cross and dying and draining the blood out of his body so that we can live. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all of our fears are gone. Because we know who holds tomorrow, life is worth living now because Jesus lives. Give God a hand of praise for him. He didn't only come down and change the news, but he healed the brokenhearted, the Bible tells us. The Bible talks about, he talks about sicknesses and diseases that had to flee at his appearance. Bible tells us everywhere he went, he was doing good. All right? He healed the sick. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. And that's how Jesus went about doing it. Isaiah talks about him healing the brokenhearted. And those who were brokenhearted, he reached down to them and touched them and brought life and health and grace and strength to them, as he is doing even in a time like this now, in our time. God is reaching down to people who are so depraved by the cares of this world. People who have drifted so far away. God is reaching down to them and calling them back unto himself. And now you meet a guy out there who was so down and destituted. He tells you, he says, "I was blind, but now I can see because Jesus is in me. Life is all right." This is exactly what we're talking about. Jesus Christ is healing the brokenhearted. Not only that, but he sets the captives free. On that old rocket cross, he declared, "It is finished." And once he declared it is finished, the Bible lets us know that the veil in the temple that divided man from God, or divided man and God, was torn open. And when it was opened, we had free access to God now. It is no longer that we have to go through a priest to get to God any longer, because Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he wiped it as white as snow. And because he cleansed it as white as snow, there needed no need to have a veil between God and man. It is open now. It is open. We have that access to God. The access that was locked up. That access that was locked up when we were held captive by the evil one. God came. When Jesus came, he set the captives free. Let me tell you, then he said, "If the Son has set you free, you will be freed indeed." And so all who look to the cross of Jesus Christ And all who believe in that cross have been set free from the perils of sin and death. No more chain of slavery. Well, we have been triumphed over in liberty because of Jesus Christ. And so this is a joy that he brings as he sets people free. Last thing this morning, he sets us free from the power of darkness. Now that we've been set free and we have this relationship with God, we have been set free from the power of darkness. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Folks, that's who we are. And this is what Jesus has done. Coming into this world in a time like this, in a season like this, when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the best gift that God has ever given to man. This is the best gift that we have ever gotten. You see, every other gift we get lasts for just a moment, and then it fades away and it dies away. But this gift lasts for all eternity. And God gave us this baby Jesus Christ, who came taking on human flesh and living in among us and feeling the things that we feel and going through the trials and the tribulations that we go through. And then finally go on the cross after being tested and tried and found to be righteous and being acceptable for that gift offering for God. He went on the cross and died, and he brought life and grace and light to all men. And today we enjoy that blessing and benefit that Jesus brings to all of us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21, he went and redeemed the souls that were in prison, going back to the time of Noah. All right? Jesus went after he died and was buried. The Bible says he went into that prison. And those who were locked up in that prison, since the time of Noah, he went in there and preached the good news to them, and somehow was able to redeem their souls. That's how far it goes. And what God has given us is not only for eternity past, eternity present, but also for eternity future. We can hope and trust in this one gift that the Lord brings to us. I pray that you receive this message this morning. It'll encourage your heart, keep you steadfast in your faith always, knowing that God would not bring you this far and leave you. He wouldn't teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and move away. He won't lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.